Thank you so much. I'm a little bit sorry we're not staying with you for Saturday night. Just to hear the choir again singing all that musical package that you're going to have, but Saturday night I'll be speaking at a young people's rally in Tampa, and we're looking forward to have a real blessing there, and I know you two will be praying for us, we'll be praying for you then. We've been having a very wonderful time. I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying every moment of my stay here. And these meetings, in the mornings in particular, we've been very, very conscious of the Lord's nearness, and we've been proving His sufficiency and the Spirit operating in our midst. Then yesterday, we started a little scene there in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Can you remember the verse now by heart? See if you can. Deuteronomy 33, 29. I'll give you time to open your Bibles to it, just in case you don't remember it, eh? Remember, we saw we were a happy people and a saved people. This morning, we're looking at the fact we're a unique people and a shielded people. We took the word happy and the word saved, broke them up into the initial letters, and we just notice how wonderfully they dovetailed the one into the other. We did the very same with the word unique and the word shield. Now have you got it all together? Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and the sword of thine excellency. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. Did I make a mistake there? Just one? Let us have it once more, all together, right? Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now we found that we are a happy people. And you look again, a very happy congregation tonight. And we are a unique people. We are saved. We are shielded. We are defended. We are vindicated. And hallelujah, we are triumphant. I thought tonight of taking the last three words, defended, vindicated, and triumphant, and just bundling them all into one word, because we're not going to have really time to get through all these words. And the word I want to give you is the word victory. Put it down in acrostic form, will you? The word victory. Now I'm going to give you a word for each letter here, and then we're going to swing right over and commence a meeting as thought tonight. We are a separated people. Remember in our first reading, we read from this portion, we are a saved people. Exodus chapter 33, we are a separated people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we are a sealed people. And then John 20, verse 21. I want to finish on that theme tomorrow night, God willing. We are a saint people. And the meeting will have a mystery emphasis tomorrow evening. Now I understand our two sisters are going to sing for us. They too will sing along that particular line, a mystery emphasis. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. So we were a saved, separated, sealed people. We are a saint people. And may God touch your hearts again tonight as we think on this wonderful theme. We are a victorious people. Vindicated and triumphant. Let us have our course. It matters to Him about you. It matters to Him about you. Now, you thought you were getting off with it, didn't you? But that'll never do. It matters to Him about you all the day long, all the night through. He's caring for me and He's caring for you. His mercies are tender. His love is ever true. It matters to Him about you. All together. It matters to Him about you. Shall we? I want you to rise and sing it. It's a new life. Oh, how he changed me. A new life. He rearranged me. All you young people under 99, rise and sing. Shall we? Everyone, right? It's a new life. Hey, how he changed me. A new life. Hey, he rearranged me. A new life. Richer and full, it's so wonderful. It's a big life. Take care how it will be. A big life. Take care how it will be. A big life. Oh, silver and large, it's so wonderful. All together, we gone, we sing old life and fall out in peace. We fall out the tree and fall out of the tree. Thank you, and you're a wonderful group, really, you know. I haven't quite got that a twist that our brother Morris has. That's exceptionally good. I like that. That does me a real, I was really thrilled about that. That's wonderful. Right, Jordan, the capital D. We are a victorious people, and the victory we have tonight is of great value. The word I want to give you, value. The value of this wonderful victory. A Frenchman came across the Britain, and he became a British citizen. A British subject. Someone said to him, why have you changed your citizenship? Well, it's like this, he said. Yesterday, Waterloo was a defeat. Today, Waterloo is a victory. Isn't that wonderful? So it may be my friend here tonight, someone, and Waterloo to you is still a defeat, but it can become a glorious victory tonight. Oh, the victory of the Gibraltar, of Calvary's crew across, the glorious triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is value. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, thanks be unto God to all this cause of the triumph in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Tonight we have this glorious victory, and the value of victory is already been accomplished for us. Someone said, what does it mean we're more than a conqueror? You go into a battle, you come out victorious, and you are a conqueror. But to be more than a conqueror is this. You have the victory without fighting at all.
The victory is yours without fighting at all. Thank God this evening, Al, we are triumphant. We are more than conquerors, but it's through the Lord Jesus who went right in the very thick of the fight. He fought and he won. He triumphed gloriously. And this evening, because we've identified ourselves with him and owned him as our Lord and Savior, tonight this glorious victory is our victory. Isn't this just wonderful? Oh, the value of this wonderful victory. Talking about being a vindicated people, it says your enemies shall be found liars unto you. This again is the value of the victory of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. When he would revile, he reviled not again. He never retaliated. Ever since I was a youngster, I speak humbly here, here sincerely, a youngster in my teens, I never sought to vindicate myself. When I was a young boy, coming up yonder in Scotland, some of those dear Scottish divines, very hard, harsh men. Yet beneath all they had hearts of love. Many a day I went home, crying my heart out. Go to my own room, saw my heart asleep. Those dear men, they said it was character forming. It was disciple training. Training disciples to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. One night when I threw myself across my bed, the Lord spoke to me very clearly and distinctly from Exodus chapter 14. And these were the words, "Hold thy peace, and I will fight for thee, saith the Lord." And from that moment to now, I have never sought to stand up for my own rights, nor to vindicate myself. And time and time and time again, people have either written or they've come to us and said we're sorry. Had I tried to stand up for my own rights and vindicate myself, I made a mess of things. The example is this, hold thy peace, and I will fight for thee, saith the Lord. And when the Lord does the fighting, he makes a grand job. What did he say to the children of Israel that day? The Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll see them again, no more, forever. There's the value of the victory of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we are more than conquerors, but it's through him that loved us. Not only are we a vindicated people, children of God, may I help you, with all the love of my heart, don't try and vindicate yourself. Let the Lord do it for you. But may I say this again lovingly? You must know what it is to be completely sold out to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the control of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Then you can look up and say with all your heart, with all sincerity, Lord, take over in this situation and just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. How often we get in the way. We try to fight. And the result is we make a mess of things. Lord often has to draw the sign and say, get out of the way. I want to take over here. And when he takes over, then your heart's going to sing out. With all sincerity, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you lovingly, are you in the good of this? Is it real? Is it vital in your life? I may be allowed to refer to Tom Skinner. Tom and I were having meetings together across in Jamaica. It was the days of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King wanted Tom Skinner to join in the big demonstration. Stand up for their own rights. Now remember dear Tom saying, "Why, Martin? I've no rights of my own. All my rights went to the cross 2,000 years ago. And for me to join in your big demonstrations, I will be coming down. Like Nehemiah of old, I've got to say, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." He recognized he was seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. His citizenship was in heaven and is in heaven. He recognized that truth. And he said, "All my rights have gone to the cross." I wonder if it's true in your life and in my life. Not only is this victory of great value, secondly, this has a wonderful influence. It has a wonderful influence. What is that influence? As the children of Israel stood on the banks of the river, the Red Sea. Remember how they had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now they've been redeemed by the mighty power of God. Moses said, "Stand still and see." Jehovah said, "Tell the children of Israel, go forward." And as they went forward, the Red Sea opened before them. The waters rolled back. They're congealed. They're still like two great walls of crystal. God sent a strong east wind, dried up the bed of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went through on dry ground. Old Pharaoh was not happy about letting the children of Israel go, and he said, "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy, I will divide the spoil, all that great big capital I will do this. I will do that." And so Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen and all his mighty chariots go hurling on after the children of Israel. And as they come down in the bed of Red Sea, the children of Israel are now coming up on the other side, on the far side. And as they are now in the bed of the Red Sea, the wheels come off the chariots. And what happens? The Lord allows all the waters to come back. And all the children of Pharaoh, his mighty horsemen, all the mighty chariots, and Pharaoh went down his leg into the Red Sea. What did Pharaoh say? "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will destroy, I will divide the spoil." What did God do? He just sent a little puff of wind. That was all. Just a puff of wind, and Pharaoh and all his mighty horsemen went down at lead into the Red Sea. What happened? Then sang the children of Israel, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is cast in the depth of the sea." Verse 6 says, "Thy right hand has become glorious in power. Thy right hand has dashed in pieces the enemy." Oh, beloved, the victory, the glorious victory. What an influence it has for those, my friend, have entered in. The singles of the very depth of the heart, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously." Not "I have triumphed," not at all. It's no longer "I," but Christ, "The Lord has triumphed gloriously." It's His victory. It's His triumph. We enter into that triumph. And thank God we share the glories of that triumph tonight. Same thought here in John, or rather Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Remember those men were threatened by the council. They're threatened with stripes and imprisonment. Those men came out gloriously victorious in what happened. The people knew they had been with Jesus. Those men knew the glory of that wonderful victory of the risen Christ. The risen Lord was meant everything to them. And the living touch of the living Lord. And what happened? They stood out and said, "We are going to obey God rather than man."
How was he able to do this? In the face of imprisonment and persecution and the lash, they were victorious through Christ. And the people took note they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. The influence of this victory. Come with me now in your mind's eye. Way back to John chapter 20, the disciples there gathered in the upper room. And as they are in the upper room, the Lord Jesus appeared in their midst. Last time they had seen him, he was hanging upon a Roman cross. Between two men, in fact, his whole body veiled in blood. And they were gathered in that upper room. Now the Lord appears in the midst and says unto them, peace be unto you. He showed them his hand. He showed them his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then he said to them, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Beloved, the Lord is here tonight. And the Lord is closer to us than we are one to the other. He's here tonight whispering, peace be unto you. Is there a heart tonight here troubled, perplexed, full of discord? The Prince of Peace is here. And he's whispering, peace be unto you. The Lord is here. He will show you tonight by faith his hands and his side. The disciples were made glad when they had seen the Lord. Why? The glorious conquering Christ stands in the midst. He's trying to over sin and death and hell and Satan. Now the mighty conquering Lord is right in the very midst. And not only, my friend, is he the bringer of peace, but he's the inspirer of all true joy. And the influence upon those people that day was such an inspiration. It brought such inner tranquility and inner rest. Why, he's risen. He's alive. One man was missing that day. Name is Thomas. And by the way, we always miss out when we absent ourselves from the gatherings of the Lord's people. We're always the loser. And Thomas found that out. During the week, the disciples said to Thomas, for the one will come and Lord say, Thomas, what happened? The Lord appeared in our midst. Well, I said, you've told me many funny things, but I won't believe that. Well, it's true, Thomas, the Lord appeared in the midst. Oh, I said, I won't believe it until I've seen the nail prints in his hands and feet. Until I've seen that spear of sign. Until I put my fingers into those nail prints and thrust my hand into his back, I won't believe it. By the way, I admire Thomas. Thomas is not going to be put off with any imposter. Some people went to an Indian village recently. He said to a dear Indian lady in all her simplicity, Christian lady, oh, come over to our village. Come over. Christ has come. The Christ has come. He's bringing wonderful fire down from heaven. He's healing a sick. He's raising a dead. Oh, it's wonderful. The Christ has come. Dear lady in all her simplicity said, has he got the marks of the nails in his hands? Has he got the marks of the nails in his hands? She was not to be put off with any impostor. The Lord is here tonight, and he's got the marks of the nails in his hands. And he's closer to you than your neighbor right now. May I suggest Thomas was there first the next Lord's Day. He learned his lesson. And again the disciples all gathered there in the upper room. Once more our adorable Lord Jesus appears in the midst, and he greets them. Peace be unto you. Then in a personal word with Thomas. Thomas, behold the nail print. Thomas, behold my side. Thomas, come a little closer. Come a little closer. At this point, I remember Joseph saying to his brethren, come near to me. Come near to me.
Thomas, put your finger into the nail print, Thomas. Thrust your head into my side.
And by the way, it must have been an awful gash in the side of our adorable Lord Jesus. When he could say to great big burly Thomas, thrust thy hand into my side. We never read it, Thomas did it. Oh no. He prostrated himself before the Lord and he cried, my Lord and my God. Beloved, you can behold the wounds from the distance, but to touch those wounds you've got to be very near. And I want you by faith to touch those wounds tonight. The Lord is here. The great, conquering, victorious Lord is saying to you tonight, come close to me. Behold the nail print. Behold the spear of inside. And hear him saying, beloved, it was for you. Amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his pierced hands, points to his wounded feet and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. Thy wounds, Lord Jesus. Those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees us from sin and death and hell. Wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus. Wounded for me. Have you thanked him? If not, will you right now? For the Lord is here. And he's saying to you, come close to me. And then hear him saying, beloved, it was for you. According to the surgeon, there are five distinct wounds. Classified thus, there's a contused wound caused by a blow from a blunt instrument. There's a lacerated wound caused by a sharp tearing instrument. There is a penetrating wound caused by a sharp pointed instrument. There's the perforated wound, which comes from a Latin root, means to pierce right through. And then there's the incised wound, come from a blow. By sharp two-edged instrument. When you read that word in Isaiah 53:4-5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I like to give that the personal touch. Come with me in your mind. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And all these five wounds are bundled up in that one word, he was wounded for my transgression. Remember how they took that reed, the blunt instrument, and they smote him with that reed. The lash made of goat hair, intertwined the hair of piece of bone and piece of steel. The art of laceration was just beginning to be practiced by the Romans at this time. And every time they brought that lash down upon his holy back, they made long the furrows in his back, they lacerated and they tore his holy back. I'm not so much amazed at the power Christ displayed while here on earth. But I am astounded at the power he held back. He could have willed that hand was raised against him with a lash. He could have called 12 legions of angels to his aid at any moment. No. In love for you and in love for me, he never said enough. He gave his back to the smiters. Those that plucked the hair from his lovely face, he turned not aside. They crowned him with that cruel crown of thorns, that kingly brow. Again they took the reed that smote him, until those very spikes penetrated that brow, the very blood spurting out, comes coursing down that face once comely, so beautiful, and now covered with rows of grief. Those rows of grief are now crimson with that rich royal blood. They remember how they take those spikes and they drive them through the perforated wound. They drive them through those lovely hands and feet. I stand back as I hear steel against steel. And I ask, what are they doing? They're nailing my Lord. They're nailing my Lord. To the tree. And by the way, the first time spikes were ever used in crucifixion is right there. Crucifixion had taken place many times before, but they were bound up by cords. Bound up by cords. The first time nails were used was right when they nailed Christ to that Roman gibbet. Guelph, Ontario, some years ago, teaching in Bible school, I mentioned that one evening. Next day we were going through the cathedral with some of the students. Someone said, look, Uncle Jim, look at that tapestry across there. That's what you said last night. Notice the two malefactors are bound up by cords. But notice Joseph of Arimathea is taking the nails out of his hands and out of his feet along with Nicodemus. The malefactors have no nails. The Jews wonder. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. And those nails were pierced through those lovely hands which had done so much good. Those beautiful feet bringing message glad tidings and peace. The cross was lifted up, let down the socket with such a sudden. It rent all his bones out of joy. Every bone dislocated. Every bone could be numb. And yet he never opened his mouth. Until there, my friend, in agony and in anguish and veiled in blood, and the murk of a dirty Roman spittle intermingling with that rich, long, frigid blood, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Then he cried, as I said the other night, he summons death to be his servant. He cried with a loud voice. By the way, it was never, oh, never the physical suffering and the acute, the intense agony must be terrific. All the physical suffering of my adorable Lord Jesus could never have brought about the great work of the atonement. It was in that moment when Jehovah caused to fall upon him the iniquity of us all. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. It was then his whole being was distorted out of recognition. His visage marred more than any man. His form more than the sons of men. And so awful was that sight. That very sun refused to shine. While God, the incarnate maker, died. For man, his creature, sinned. And I hear the cry piercing the darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the word of my roaring? But thou art holy. Yet the holy rise and behold iniquity. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot look upon sin. And the very darling of his own heart became sin for us. God is God. Turn his back. Now we hear the cry, also piercing the darkness. It is finished. And he bowed his head. And he dismissed it. He summons death to be his servant, and he cried, Father, into thy hand, I commend my spirit. And he died, a king crucified, to save a poor worm like me. Has this lovely Jew,
Woes of the nails, Lord Jesus, that bound thee to the tree. It was thy love, thine eternal love. Thy love for me. For me. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away. The contused wound, the lacerated wound, the penetrating wound, the perforated wound, but what about the incised wound? We must break the legs of Christ, the Passover that can't hang upon the cross, the cane of the first malefactor and the broke his legs to hasten death, the went the other, and the broke his legs to hasten death. There Christ said, sir, not a bone of him shall be broken. And when they came to him, they marveled. They were amazed. He's dead already. Then they took that spear. And they pressed that spear into that side. The inside wound. That two sharp edged instrument. But the beloved, the very spear that pierced his side through holes of blood to save. They were amazed and marveled, please notice, and from that side flew forth the blood, and notice, and the water. Proof conclusive of the death of God's beloved Son. And he was wounded for you. And he was wounded for me. Christian, I want you to come again. The place called Golgotha. Recognize not only died for you there, but his death is your death. Please, oh please, Christ died for all mankind. He died instead of those who believe on him. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all mankind. It's only efficient for those who trust him and receive him as Savior. Beloved, the Lord is here and is nearer to you than your neighbor, right within that narrow pew, and is saying, behold my hands, behold my side, beloved. It was for you. Come close to me. Can you hear him saying it? Can you hear him sing it right now? And will you tonight prostrate yourself before him and cry? For remember, the Lord is here as the bringer of peace. He's here tonight as the inspirer of all true joy. He's here tonight as the commissioner of his people. He's here tonight as the dispeller of all our doubts. And Thomas had seen the nail prints, my Lord and my God. Tonight the Lord is here. Will you look away from yourself and cry with ecstasy, the heart full of gratitude and real thanksgiving, my Lord and my God. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. Thank God for the value of that victory. Praise God for the influence of that victory. I wonder what influence it is having upon you, because remember, oh remember, the cross is empty, the tomb is vacated, and the throne is filled. And he by his Spirit is right here, the conquering Christ, in our very midst, in the chapel tonight, at Park of the Park. And he's revealing himself to you. To you. Have you seen him? Have you heard his voice? I trust you have. Not only is it a valuable victory and a influencing victory, it is a complete victory. See, it is complete. We thank God for the completeness of the victory of our adorable Lord Jesus. Colossians 2, verse number 14 through verse number 15, taking the handwriting of ordinances against us, he took it other way, nailing it to his cross.
I want to say,
having strict,
I love this word, I'm going to be in house here,
having strict principalities and powers, he made the open show of them, triumphing over them in his cross work. And he won the immediate crown by being trodden down.
This one will humble themselves to the Lord's death, wherever God has highly exalted him, and given the names above every name, that in that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he's Lord, the glory of God the Father. And old friend, do not listen. This victory is a complete victory. And thank God for the completeness. Friend, ne'er again will God Jehovah smite the shiver of the sword. Ne'er again will cruel sinners sin it not, our glorious Lord. And Calvary will never be reenacted. Thank God for the completeness. Once in the end of the age, he appears with a waste sin. And I love this. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, shows himself likewise to part of the same, that through death he might destroy him and the power of death, and deliver those who shall fear of death or the lifetime subject of bondage. Oh, rejoice tonight, child of God. This victory is your victory. It's your victory. Enter in by faith and claim your possession in Christ Jesus. This complete victory over sin and death and hell and Satan. He made an open show of them, triumphing over them in his cross work. And then tonight we can cry, thanks be unto God for all this causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And this is at that time for our team. This is a transforming victory. Thank God for the transformation of the glorious victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, for your reasonable, your intelligent, your logical service, the right rendering is your spiritual worship. And be not conformed as well, be ye transformed. Get the word? Transfigured, changed, all the same Greek word, transformed, transfigured, changed, by renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. This victory is our victory. And I said the other evening, did I not? Romans chapter 7, there you have the captive. Romans chapter 8, you got the conqueror. Romans 12 continues through Romans 8. Romans 9, 10, 11, remember, are in brackets, parentheses. Romans 12 is the continuation of Romans 8. Romans 8, remember, no condemnation, no defeat, no separation. Therefore, says Paul now in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, brethren. Notice who he's talking to, those are the subjects. Those who have been saved, pardoned, cleansed. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. Not by the law, nor by conscription. Nor by compulsion, but by the mercies of God. And ye present your body, a living, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, as those that are alive from the dead, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. May I just pause here for a moment? This does not refer to God the Father. It does not refer to God the Son. He already has a body. But it refers to God the Holy Spirit. Now, don't as I said the other evening, now the morning was rather, our body, your body, my body, is a dwelling place, a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in us. But he wants to manifest the life of Christ through us. And that's why we present our body to him. A definite, deliberate act. Just as definite, just deliver as that moment when you receive Christ for salvation is that moment when you hand over your whole body, your whole being with any reserve, for any condition to the control of the Holy Spirit and pray, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me, and all the transforming effect of this wonderful victory. What does it say? Be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable of God. And may I say very lovingly, we will never know God's will for our lives until we fully surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Never will. Romans 12:1 leads to Romans 12:2. You want to know his will except to the natural man, the carnal man. The Christian will say, God's will is good. God's will is perfect. Only the surrendered man will say, God's will is acceptable. And the only way I can know the value, the truth of God's will for my life is by full surrender. As we crossed some time ago in Vancouver, I hope to be there, at least Victoria, for Easter, for their convention, God willing. I remember years ago being out there. A very charming young lady was coming along to the services in 60 McDonald Street. Night after night, and I was dealing with Psalm number 84. Night after night, going along that wonderful theme. She came and said, will you come and see me tomorrow? Yes, I'd be happy to come and see you. I got the address and I drove down to her house. Beautiful ranch type home. Beautiful grounds, luxuriously furnished. Beautiful big grand piano, lovely Hammond organ. All the modern facilities, all the heart could desire. Two lovely children, beautiful boy, beautiful girl. Carpet she could sink in. She was a young widow. Her husband was an oil magnate. His boss said to him, I want you to be in Toronto tomorrow morning. This is the Lord's evening. I want to be in Toronto tomorrow morning for a special meeting. But he said, I can leave in the first plane in the morning, still get there in time because of the time change. He said, no, I'd rather you went tonight, Jack. I'd rather you went tonight on that late plane. And you'd be fresh for tomorrow morning. Cutting my long story short. The hockey team too from Toronto were going back from Vancouver on the same plane. Three times he went back to kiss his wife and two children. Dear, I don't want to go on that plane. But I must go. He went. One of the very rare accidents Air Canada ever had happened that night. They were right in the Skiddaw, one of the ranges of the Rocky Mountains, and hit them. Every life was completely lost. They asked me to go out as a Protestant. Many other faiths were there, Jews, Catholics, to take the memorial service. And I never forget this all my life. Never will. He said, I got all this world can offer me. But Jim, never until last night did I recognize that Christ had not got me. And spirit and soul and body, I sold out to him. And all I had, and all I had, I had to go to him. Sometime afterward, I had a letter from her, which I still got. Said, I can see the whole secret of knowing God's sweet will for my life is Romans 12:1. I'll never know Romans 12:2 till I come through Romans 12:1. And that's why so many Christians muddle around like a square peg in a round hole, wasting time and energy and the Lord's money. Because never found God's will for the life. You know why? Because never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still wandering round in the wilderness. And they've never entered in their possessions in Christ because of unbelief. I've everything in Christ to show. I'm perfect in Christ. It's true.
The land was the privilege that still belonged to Israel by inheritance, not there to go in and possess it. The Lord that God has for you, my friend, is in Christ. If you faith must go in and possess what you've got in Christ tonight, will you? This is victory. Oh, it's an obedient victory. Obedience is the outcome of this victory. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The rejoicing in this victory, and all the redeemed of all heaven, all the redeemed of God, behold in yonder glory, all encircling the Lamb. One heart with one voice we shall cry, as we shall sing, and love is elusive from our sins, the new soul, thou art worthy to receive honor, glory, and power, and dominion both now and forevermore. Verse I want to give you against the word of Jesus, Romans 6, verse number 16. Verse I want to give against rejoicing is the word revelation, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 9. My last point for you with this, I really must close, is the yieldingness of this victory. Beloved, oh beloved, you'll never know this victory in your life until you fully surrendered and yielded your all to Him. Will you come from your very heart, will you pray? Lord, I yield myself to Thee. Lord, I yield myself to Thee. I have heard Thy call. Come, give me Thine all. Lord, I gladly yield to Thee. Did you get those points? As we quietly wait in prayer, remember the value of this victory, its influence, its completeness, its transformation, its obedience, its rejoicing, and its yieldingness. But I never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar I lay. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. What He says, I will do. Where He sends, I will go. God bless you.